But here's what God's word says in John chapter 1, verse 41-42. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. We read about Jesus calling his disciples at this time, and he's bringing, all these people are coming to him, and he's calling them to himself. And you see Andrew, he just goes right away to his brother Simon. And he comes with his brother Simon to Jesus, and Jesus recognizes, he sees him right away, and he changes his name right there on the spot. But there's this power there when he goes and just goes and shares, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. Come with me. Come with me so I can show him to you and you can meet him." And he came, and that's how it was. You know, I believe that one of the most exciting times in any person's life is when they meet Jesus for the very first time. That's one of the most exciting times in anyone's life. You know, when we've chosen to believe the most important message on earth, that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came to make right the broken relationship between God and man. Through accepting his death on that cross and that resurrection, that we are made whole before God and walk with him for all eternity. We've talked a little bit about that this morning as we've had our time of worship. You know, when you accept him into your heart, he washes you clean from the sin and the dirt in your life. You just feel cleaner than you've ever felt before. You have this heavy weight lifted off of your shoulders. That was my experience. You know, it's a weight that you don't even maybe realize that's even there in the first place. But when it's gone, you feel the relief because Jesus has come into your life. Everything is different, and it should be, because Jesus now lives in your heart, and he is with you every day from that point on. Each of us has a different story of how we met Jesus. Some of us came to accept Jesus as children. You know, and statistics would say that many, many people come to know Jesus as children. Many people come to know Jesus as children. Quite a good percentage of people come to know Christ in their young life. And for some of you, it may have been later in life. In either case, we have a story to share. And that's what my message is about today. It's about sharing your story. It's about sharing the story of Jesus. And it's one of those three essentials that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. You know, we have a story to share of Jesus, but there might be some of us here this morning, and we're like one of the crowd that may have come to listen to Jesus speaking on the mountainside, standing in the crowd looking to see if Jesus was the real thing. You know, they're not the ones that were standing right at the very front of the crowd trying to get as close as they could. They were back a few layers of people. And they were kind of watching and listening, and they might kind of see Jesus through and just kind of go, you know, what do I think about this? Is this real? Like, is this actually real? Maybe you're one of those people, and you're just waiting to see if Jesus is the real thing. And you're here this morning, and, you know, you're free to explore Jesus here without anyone pushing you into believing something that you're not ready for. Yet, for those of us who have a story, we actually have to learn how to share that story boldly. We need to learn how to share that story boldly. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you have a story in us, Lord. There is you working in and through us, and that we can share that story, God, with those who don't know you. And Lord, it's our story. It's about how you came into our life, how you're changing us, God, how you're working in us, and how you've lifted the weight off of our shoulders. God, that story is powerful. It's sharing about who you are and what you've done in and through us and what you continue to do. And so, Father, we do believe that we need boldness to share that sharing and witnessing God and sharing the good news it's such an important part of following you. Because, Lord, we love you. We want to know you more. And, God, you teach us and you call us to go out and share that good news. You call us to go out and talk about what you've done in each of our lives so that others would hear, so that others would come to know you as well. And so, God, help us today as we talk about the power of sharing your gospel, sharing your message with those that are in and around our lives. We just thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, I know that my story towards following Christ began as a young child in my childhood home. You know, I've shared a little bit before, but being enthralled with this little ceramic statue of Jesus that sat on my parents' shelf in the living room. You know, it wasn't high up in the room on up on the shelf, but instead it was low down. It was at that perfect height where I could stand in front of it and look closely at the details, touching the feet of Jesus on this little statue, seeing the heart of Jesus in his hands. It was like it was a Catholic statue. The details of the face, the light blue color of his robe in this depiction of Jesus in this statue. It was only about that big, but it had a lot of detail, and I just remember as a kid, as a young kid, looking at this and just being fascinated by it. Who is this? My curiosity as a child only grew when I saw, you know, the movie of Jesus. It would always come on TV around Christmas time every year. Fast forward 10 years later, and from that moment, and there I was sitting on that sidewalk late one evening with a friend asking Jesus to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. You know, there's a story there. You know, oftentimes people say, well, it's easy for you. You're a pastor. You know, you just tell people stuff. But, you know, it's not really any different than any of you. And I find it interesting. I was having a chat with someone here yesterday. And they said, you know, how do you share your faith with people, like Sikh people, people of your, you know, cultural background? I said, you know, it's quite interesting. It's really quite easy. Because generally, if you're talking to another guy, what do guys ask each other? So, what do you do? And it's usually, as soon as that question gets asked, what do you do? Well, you know, I work in a church. Oh, well, what do you do? You're like, do IT or something? Or what do you do? No, I'm a pastor. What? How did that happen? And so, well, let me tell you. And so, you know, you get this great opportunity to kind of share the story. Oh, so it's really easy that way because it's just kind of so far out in left field, it doesn't make any sense. And so they just can't help but ask. I love that. But, you know, this morning we're talking about that the power there is in sharing Jesus and how people see Jesus in us. And it is really one of those three most important things that we can be doing. You know, we've already talked about how essentially regularly talking with Jesus through prayer is. You know, it's so essential. It's so important. And we've talked about the importance of taking Scripture in every day. And I hope that you've been able to start a regular Bible reading plan this week, this past week, if you haven't hadn't already been doing one. I believe those papers are still available that have, you know, if you want it, in, all written out and spelled out for you that Sharon had provided for me to make copies of, a one-year reading plan. Those are still available, and obviously all those online resources. But, you know, generally, prayer and Scripture reading are things that we can do in the privacy of our own home. But when it comes to sharing Jesus, it actually really requires us to step outside, to make ourselves available to be used by God to lead others to Him, just as we have been led ourselves. You know, you can pray at home, you can read your Bible at home. Generally, you're not out walking around on the streets reading your Bible out loud and praying out loud, generally. And so people aren't hearing that. You can kind of do that in privacy of your own home. But we need to be stepping out when it comes to sharing. So why is it so challenging? Why is it so challenging for us to share our story of how Jesus came and changed our lives? Why is that so difficult sometimes? Why don't we actively seek out to live out the Great Commission in our personal lives every day, as Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus commands us to go. To all the nations. Well, you know, there isn't really one simple answer to why we have a hard time in this area of sharing sometimes. But this morning, we're going to look at a few ways that we can grow and follow Jesus' command to go and make disciples. I share this quick story with you. A local preacher was speaking one evening in an open-air crusade in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Billy Graham was to speak the next night and had arrived a day early. Could you imagine that? He came incognito and sat on the grass at the rear of the crowd. Because he was wearing a hat and dark glasses, no one recognized him. Directly in front of him sat an elderly gentleman who seemed to be listening intently to the presentation. When the preacher invited people to come forward as an open sign of commitment, Billy decided to do a little personal evangelism. He tapped the man on the shoulder and asked, "Would you like to accept Christ? I'll be glad to walk with you down there to the front if you would like me to." The old man turned, looked him up and down, thought it over for a moment, and said, "Nah, I think I'll just wait till the big guns come tomorrow night." Billy and the local preacher had several good laughs over that incident. Unfortunately, it underlines this. It underlines how, in the minds of many people, evangelism or sharing the story of Jesus is the task of the big guns, not the little shots. You know, and this is one of the greatest lies the enemy has ever managed to pull off in the lives of believers in North America, that you need to leave the sharing to the professionals. You know, this idea that, well, you know, I'm not really trained or equipped to share, therefore I'm probably not going to, because I might mess it up. You know, there's sometimes this fear that we have of stepping out and maybe saying the wrong thing. Leave it to the big shots, the big guns. You know, for many, the idea of witnessing or sharing our faith with someone can cause panic. Like it creates fear. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know what I would do. You know, we can be so worried that we might not be able to explain the hard questions that someone might ask when we start to talk about our faith in Jesus. Or that they might just flat out reject us for our belief in God. And it's these fears and others that hold us back from an amazing opportunity. They hold us back from the opportunity of being able to see God come and do what only God can do through you. Because when we step out and we're obedient to what God wants, He will work through us. And we see amazing, miraculous things happen. Here's another illustration. Paul Little, in his book, How to Give Away Your Faith, defines witnessing. Witnessing is the deep-seated conviction that the greatest favor I can do for others is to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Unless the Holy Spirit is directing us specifically to a person, the reality is that none of us can just go walk up to someone that we don't know at all and really just, you know, tell them about Jesus and expect them to just say, "Sure, yep, I'm in," right on the spot, generally speaking. In our culture, doing that may just get that negative response that you're trying to avoid. They might kind of go, "Okay, that's kind of nuts. I don't know you at all. And you're talking to me about God." And, you know, unless the Spirit is leading you to go and speak to that person specifically and talk to them, people might react a little funny to that. They might, in our culture. You know, it usually requires some genuine relationship. It requires some depth and some trust, you know, before we can go there. And the truth is that many times as Christians, we don't sometimes even really have any real relationships with people outside of our Christian circle. You know, we are so involved and so busy in church stuff and with our church friends that do we really actually have genuine relationships with folks that are outside a relationship in Jesus? If you do, fantastic. If you don't, I encourage you to go and find some people, build some relationships with people that are genuine and real and have depth with those that are outside of Christ. So why do we as believers sometimes keep our story to ourselves? Well, there's a few reasons for that. I've already mentioned there's this fear of rejection or this fear of a reaction. They're not clear. Maybe we're not clear on the details and they don't know what to say. You know, you're not really clear on how are you going to share that story? How are you going to do that? What are the details? And you're not really sure what to say. They don't have a method for sharing. that they've made their own and that they're comfortable with. Maybe you read a book or you read a pamphlet. Here's how you share about Jesus, and it's not your own way. It's kind of, you know, step one, two, and three, and it's just artificial and feels very mechanical. And it's not your own, and you're just really nervous about that. And then there's maybe that you've never heard anyone tell it in a normal life context. You know, in just like everyday life context, sharing Jesus. You've never maybe heard that, someone do that, so you're not sure how exactly that works. Or maybe you're not motivated enough to leave your comfort zone. You know, we use that term comfort zone. You know, it's where we sit, where, you know, everything is good. And, you know, those outer peripheral edges are where we get very uncomfortable doing anything. And so, you know, we're just not maybe motivated enough to leave our comfort zone. So there's a few reasons why we keep our story to ourselves. So how do we change that? How do we change that so that we can actually do what Jesus talked to us and told us to do? Well, here's a few ways we can change that. Here's what we can do to change that today and get started. Sometimes we simply just need to walk across the room. We need to just get up in that space we're at and walk across a room and start a conversation. Luke chapter 21, verse 14 and 15 says this in the New Living Translation. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. In The Message, Eugene Peterson puts it this way. You'll end up on the witness stand, called to testify. Make up your mind right now not to worry about it. I'll give you the words and wisdom that will reduce all your accusers to stammers and stutters. You see, this speaks directly to that fear that we have, that we won't have the words to say when that time comes to talk about faith. Jesus himself will give you the right words to say. But you won't have even the opportunity to speak if you don't get up and maybe walk across the room. If you don't make that actual physical motion to step into a conversation with someone and be available, how can he speak through? You know, I can think back to times where these God moments happened. And I had this opportunity, and maybe you can think back to opportunities that you've had like that as well in the past, where you had these moments, these opportunities to talk about faith with people. And after the conversation had ended and you've walked away, you thought to yourself, and I thought to myself, you know, that was definitely not coming from me. You know, it's like the words were coming to my lips before the thoughts were even entering into my mind. Can any of you, have you had that experience? Some of you had that experience where you just, you know, you started getting into this conversation. You thought, oh man, how's this going to go? Lord, speak through. And he does. And you just, afterwards you think, wow. That's not me. That's the Lord speaking through. And it's fantastic because that is God working through you. And that is so exciting when we see that happen. And the Lord says he will. That's what it says. So let me encourage you today. Don't be afraid when God is leading you into an opportunity to share your faith. It's your story. It's your story. Here's another way that we can learn to share our story. Open your homes to others. Be a hospitable. Practice hospitality. You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 13 says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. It also says, always be eager to practice hospitality. You know, have people in your home, not just church people, but invite your neighbors in for tea or coffee. You know, summertime I find is a really good time because you can have barbecues and you're outside. It's a very casual setting to develop relationship. You know, sometimes people get nervous about, I have to go into their home and maybe I'll need to bring a gift or this or that. But instead, it can be just very casual. Hey, we're having a barbecue later today, do you want to come over and have a barbecue? And, you know, that can be a great opportunity, opening up your home, opening up, being hospitable. You know, when we practice hospitality, it's so effective in building the bridges of relationship. You know, when we invite people into our homes, we allow people a window to see who we are, where we live. We're actually being vulnerable. You know, I had a good friend of mine that was in ministry. And he had such a hard time inviting people, him and his wife had such a hard time inviting people into their home because they didn't like their furniture. And, you know, I'd say, hey, you know, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter, but it was a hard thing for them. Like, they didn't like their couches. And so they felt maybe weird about inviting people and, you know, what they might think. But I thought, you know, that shouldn't matter. It's about opening your home. It's about allowing people to come and see you just as you are. Not everything polished, not everything totally clean. You know, and if, you know, if they were to walk around and run their finger over the mantle of your fireplace, they're going to go, what is this? You didn't clean your house before I came. You know, like, it's not none of that. It's just about saying, just come over. Let's practice hospitality together. Let's be open to that. You know, Luke chapter 8, verse 38 to 42, we remember the story of Mary and Martha, and those of you that are doing that book study, this is the familiar story. Mary and Martha in regards to the visit with Jesus. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? I think she probably even said it kind of like that. Doesn't it seem strange to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. It's Jesus. Spending time with him, being with him. And yet another way to share the message of Jesus is simply bring people to church. You can bring people to church. Introduce them to others in your family here at CLA. That's a great way to introduce people to Jesus. And, you know, you never know the connections that can take place when you introduce new people to the family of the church. You know, so many times God speaks to us through the Word, you know. We read the Word. We hear the Word. The Word jumps out at us. Gail talked last week, you know, about you know, what the Scripture and how she interacts with Scripture and writing poetry. You know, God speaks to us through His Word. And so, you know, I'm always so encouraged to hear when sometimes, you know, someone comes and they tell me how God spoke to them personally through a verse or of Scripture or a point that was shared during the morning message. And it just reinforces to me the importance to share what God lays on my heart each week. And it may not even have really anything to do with the topic of what I was talking about, but it was something maybe in that verse or there's something in that point that spoke directly to a need in their life. And so God speaks through His Word. God speaks through His Word. And it's encouraging because it's like, thank you, Lord. I'm glad that you are doing the work. You're doing the heavy lifting. You're speaking into people's hearts. So when we do all these things, what effect does that have on us? It actually jumpstarts our faith. It jumpstarts our faith. You know, when we step out, when we're sharing about Jesus, what does it do? It jumpstarts our faith. What will we do? We're going to actually pray more. We're going to pray more because we actually believe that God is going to speak into people's lives as you see God, you know, using you to have life in them and interact with them. You can't help but be filled with hope when you see the influence of the Lord in people's lives and how their lives are being changed. You pray more. You learn more. Because you want to be able to share in a way that honors God. You know, you learn, you're taking, it's all of a sudden become this personal thing. It's not just for you, it's just something to put in your own mind and for you, but it's something that you think, boy, you know, when I interact with those folks and I want to, you know, do what the Lord's calling me to do in that. You know, and you live better. You actually live better because you get it. You understand that being part of God's plan is really actually quite fulfilling. You will want to live a life that glorifies God to a greater degree. You actually live better. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 say this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You know, communication is called the art of sending and receiving a clear message. You know, I talk to a lot of people about communication. Sometimes it's in a counseling setting. Sometimes it's just in discussion. Communication, it is incredibly important, and it really is an art. It's something that we get better at and better at the more we practice it, the more we learn about communication. That art of sending and receiving a clear message. It's not just the sending, it's the receiving part as well. Here's another illustration. In 1995, a survey that was done by the Barna Research Group in the States, it was discovered that non-Christians have no clue what Christians mean when some of us use these Christian phrases that we often take for granted. 63% of non-Christians don't know what Christians mean when they talk about the gospel. 75% of the people surveyed of non-Christians that were surveyed don't know what John 3:16 is. Add to that the phrase like a broken heart, I've been convicted. That's a good one. I've been convicted. You have? What did you do? How many years did you serve? Or get into the Word. Huh? Get into the Word. Which non-Christians would hear quite differently than we hear that, right? You know, I always find it a challenge when I'm preparing a message. Like, I really try hard to make sure I'm not using those words that those that are in the church are very familiar with, but those that are from, like, new or exploring would be like, what is he talking about? I don't get that. What does he mean by that phrase? So I really try to, like, consciously think about what am I saying that it would make sense. You know, or if I say it the Christianese way and then explain it in a non-Christianese way. Christianese, that's a new word maybe for you. Christianese, that's what it's called when you say things like, you know, get into the Word or I'm then covered with the blood and those things. It's like, yikes, what? You know? Yeah, so this is a problem. This is a problem for unbelievers and for people that are new because they hear the unspoken message from Christians. This is the unspoken message. If you don't understand the holy lingo, you don't belong to the holy huddle. That's how we put it. However, 40% of Christians, we're not talking about non-Christians, we're talking about Christians from this survey, 40% of Christians don't know what the gospel actually means. 53%, according to the survey, don't know John 3:16. So how do we communicate? Do we communicate with this other language, Christianese? Do we communicate from a place where we don't personally perhaps know the essentials of faith in Christ? Well, there's two ways that we communicate. We communicate what we believe about most strongly by the way we live our lives every day. That's where it goes beyond the words that we speak, Christianese or not. We communicate what we believe about most strongly by the way we live our lives every day. Not just a two-hour period of time that we spend at church, not in the prayer meetings, not in any of those other places, but every day. That's what communicates what we believe. Secondly, we communicate by telling others about our faith, putting spiritual concepts into everyday words. So what's your story? What's your story? How do you organize your story? Well, here's how I organize my story. What was my life like before Christ? What was my life like before Jesus came into my life and began to transform it? Began to change it. After that, the second thing is, what were the series of events that made me realize my need for a Savior? So, what was my life like before Christ? And then, what were the things that led up to me seeing that I need Jesus? And then thirdly, what was the moment like when Christ became real for you and I? That's the next step. So we realize that life before Christ was not the same. We see that there was a series of events that led us up to seeing that we needed Jesus. And then it was the moment where Jesus became real to us. And then the last thing is, what is the difference that Christ has made in your life? Those are the four things. That's your story. Before Christ, leading up to Christ, meeting Jesus, and then what is the difference that it's made in your life? Because you can tell people about, you know, I really needed Jesus, and this is what I was like before, and then, you know, and here's the things that led up to me coming to know that I need Jesus, and then, you know, here's what happened when I met Jesus. See ya. You missed that one essential step. We need to tell people about what difference Jesus has made in our life. Because that's the part that attracts people to him. It's not just inside of us. We have manufactured this inside of us. For many of us, the stories are transformational. Literally saved us from death. Physically and spiritually. So there are three ways that you can start a spiritual conversation. One way is a direct conversation, directly. Creating opportunities to talk about spiritual things. You know, and this usually starts with a question or a statement. The other way that we can start a spiritual conversation is indirectly. Indirectly. And this is when we talk about some element of a normal conversation and you use it to bring up spiritual issues. It eases into spiritual conversation by using something that you regularly talk about. Right? You know, there's all kinds of different illustrations and examples that you could use, but you're just talking about whatever and you can begin to talk about Jesus. You can begin to talk about spiritual things with people. The other way that you can start spiritual conversations is by inviting people. Again, inviting people to a Christian event that relates to something that matters to them. You know, this upcoming Friday and Saturday, there's a marriage conference happening down at CTK. It's a Mark Driscoll marriage course. It's a video. No, it's not a video. I think it's a streaming thing. And I would encourage you, if you want to go to that, check it out. It starts Friday night, and it goes Saturday morning as well. It's called Real Marriage. Real Marriage. And I can promise you, if you've ever listened to any of Mark Driscoll online, it'll be pretty real and pretty direct and pretty probably a little raw. But that's free, and that's happening this Friday night and Saturday morning down at CTK. And Matt said to, yes, invite, you know, anybody that would want to come down and check that out. There's a poster out there on the thing. But, you know, that could be a very natural way of inviting someone into a spiritual conversation. Hey, yeah, I'm going to this marriage thing, and you're married, and so, you know, maybe you could learn something new. You and your spouse could learn something new as well. Why don't you come along with us? And you invite them down to this Christian event that's related to something that actually matters to them. You know, it's that simple. So here's a few of the overriding principles here as we kind of draw to a close. We actually need to focus on the other person's interests and concerns. Begin where they are. How do you share Jesus? How do you share your story? Focus on the other person's interests. Begin where they are. Be willing to take risks. Be willing to take the risk. Don't be so afraid of making a mistake. So afraid that you're just stuck. You're immobilized. And thirdly, make the most of split-second opportunities. And we talked about this before, about redeeming the time. Right? Redeeming our time. Sometimes opportunities just come up right there. And we can take advantage of that. We can just begin to connect and share and build some relationship. I'm going to invite the worship team to come, and we're going to just close. I'm going to close with a few practical communication tips. You know, some of this is just, you know, it's the Word of God, and it's just how do we interact with the Word of God? How do we share the Word of God? Here's some practical communication tips. Let's learn not to give a lecture. People want to talk with you, not to be talked at by you. Listen first, then respond. When you give your story, do you give them just the whole thing? Do you stand there for an hour saying, here's everything that happened and on and on, and you barely take a breath? Or do you give that story in bite-sized pieces? Sharing that story like planting seeds. Listening first and then responding. Planting seeds. It's a little bit at a time. Being patient. You know, I've talked to another person in the congregation that has friends that he interacts with in his workplace. And it's always just these little conversations, little encouragements, little conversations. And that makes a difference. It makes a difference in their lives, and it's planting seeds. And we have to trust the Lord in that. We trust the Lord in that. Let me finish with this story. There's a story of a boy who was fishing on a stream when a group of teenagers arrived on the scene with their rods and reels and fancy flies. They thrashed the water as they joked and laughed, casting and reeling in repeatedly, but catching nothing. The boy sat intently watching the tip of his tree branch pole. Every so often, he pulled up a fish. Finally, one of the fellows shouted, "How do you do it? We've got special flies, but we're not catching anything." The boy looked up long enough to reply, "I'm fishing for fish. You're fishing for fun." Maybe we need to become a little more focused in our attempts to reach people with the gospel. Are we fishing for fun? Or are we, as Jesus says, fishers of men? Be bold. That's my encouragement to you this morning. Be bold. People will respect you for not beating around the bush. They're looking for someone, they're looking for something that makes sense. And they want to hear it from someone who really believes what they're saying. You ever talk to someone that is trying to tell you something or sell you something, but they don't really believe it? You kind of go, right. But when you see the passion inside of someone, they mean what they're saying. They believe with all their heart what they're saying. They're bold. It's just a little easier to go, you know what, there might be something there. So let's be intentional. We got to make time for it. And let's lastly, be natural. This is so important. And when I was on my way to come be the pastor here, I talked with a good friend of mine who's been pastoring for a while. I said, "Hey, you know, any suggestions, any recommendations as I step into this new role as a pastor of a church?" He said, "Jazz, be yourself. Don't try to be someone you're not. Be natural. The way you share your story and God's story must be authentically you. It has to be coming from who you are in the way that you would just be normally when you interact and talk to people. Because that's when it comes across in such a way that you see that it's real. You're not reading off a piece of paper. You're not repeating the three keys that you read in a pamphlet somewhere. It's just being real. So we're just going to close with a word of prayer and a song of worship unto the Lord. And if it's still snowing out there, it is still snowing out there, then maybe you'll get to go home and shovel some snow. I don't know. But I just want to encourage you this morning. Pray, read God's word, and share the good news. Share your story. You do that, you're going to see amazing, amazing things happening in your life. God working in and through you in ways that you couldn't even imagine. And that's why we're here. We're here to encourage each other. We're here to grow in Him, to have depth, to be discipled, to follow Jesus. So let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks this morning. We thank you, Lord, again, for who you are. We thank you that the gospel message is simple. To accept you as Lord and Savior. To understand that we are people who are sinners, who need to be saved so that we can have a relationship with you, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord, that we're here this morning, that we can accept you as Lord and Savior, that we can share that story of how you came and saved us, how you set us free, how you've transformed our lives. God, I pray this morning that we would have the boldness and the courage to trust you when you lead us into these different conversations that we would have the boldness and the courage to know, God, that you've placed us here for a reason. That we don't live in Gibson's or here on the Sunshine Coast just for any other odd reason, but because you've placed us here, Lord. And the people that are around us for a reason. And so, God, we're just going to give you praise this morning. We're going to thank you, God, for those opportunities. We're going to thank you for those people, Lord, that you love and you care for and you want to see them know you. And so, God, let the story that is in us be powerfully shared in such a natural way, Lord, with such boldness that people can't help but be drawn to the Jesus that lives in us. God, I just pray that every person here would be encouraged today in that. And Lord, you would be speaking through our prayer times and our scripture reading times, encouraging us, Lord, to look to you for that strength, to look to you, God, again, for the words to say when we don't know what to say, because you will bring those right words. Pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.